Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The RealReal. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Welcome to the Midlife Midsters Podcast, your podcast for inspiration on being bold and saying yes to making the most of midlife.
Today, we're going to be talking a little bit about making space for yourself in midlife. But before we get started, I'll just let everyone introduce themselves. I'm Leslie Ann.
I'm Mary Ann.
I'm Marla.
So the idea for this podcast actually started from an experience that I had this past summer, which is my husband and I sold our home of 27 years, got rid of most of our stuff, and moved into an apartment. We're not the only people that I know that have done this. I have another really, really dear friend who actually did similarly about a year before we did. But it's not something that most people usually do in midlife. And that led us to reflect on the fact that of the three of us here, we've all kind of gone in different directions about how we make or use our space, our physical space in midlife. So I've downsized. Marla?
I've stayed sized. I haven't changed anything except for half of the belongings in my home that had belonged to my now ex-husband are no longer there. So in essence, I didn't actively downsize, but there are fewer things in the home now.
And Marianne, you went in the completely other direction.
I did. So about 10 years ago, doubled down, and purchased a second home, a vacation home.
Okay. I kind of want to start with that.
Oh, sure.
And there was a specific reason that you decided to make that choice and to buy a second home. And I thought maybe you could share a little bit about that.
Sure. I don't talk about it much, but in a good place at the moment to discuss this. But yeah, so I have two children, and my oldest son, unfortunately, was diagnosed with a fatal disease called mitochondrial disease, was not given a great prognosis. We were able to get into NIH, Children's Hospital, get him diagnosed, and he started treatment, and he's thriving and doing well. But at the time, he worked with a psychiatrist, kind of a death and dying conversation came up, and she met with my husband and I after. And said, you know, I was talking to your son, and we were talking about his favorite memories in life and how to create more of that in the time that he has. And he spoke about the Delmarva. He spoke about being on the Eastern Shore in Cape Charles, and those were the days that he cherished the most with his family, fishing, crabbing, getting up in the morning, smelling that sea air, and he wanted more of that. So I think that somehow you should find that for him. And I'm thinking in my mind, okay, well, we can do more vacations like that. And she said, actually, you know, there is a place that I have a home in Prospect Bay over on the Eastern Shore. A house just came up for rent. You might want to take a look at it. And I'm like, okay, well, that sounds good. So I drove out. My husband and I drove out. We ended up renting this house. Stayed there for a year, absolutely loved it. It took a while for my son to get better, but he does say it was the shore experience, S-H-O-R-E, getting out, being able to enjoy life, positive environment. But while we were there renting, we actually ended up buying a home to create more memories and be able to have something that we could cherish those memories at. And honestly, I mean, I love my house in Arlington, my home. I don't really consider it a house, but it had gotten pretty dark with the unfolding of this horrible illness. And it was just so delightful to get away to a place where we could be happy and enjoy each other. So we did double down, but that was the reason that we did that. I don't know that we would have had a second home. That home has become so special. If we ever downsize, it will not be there. We are keeping it. We continue to make great memories. We've opened it up to other family and friends, and it's a really special place.
It is a special place because I, as you know, love your home on the Eastern Shore and love spending time there. And I think it's really great that you all have made that what initially was a sort of bittersweet purchase into something really wonderful and positive, because your children love it, you love it, your friends love it. And it's a place where you bring people together. And I just love that you do that. But it's a lot to keep up two homes.
It is a lot. And I don't know that we'll do it forever. But that home is so special that I deliberately bring people into that home to add to the energy. We talked about this a little bit earlier before our recording of this and how important it is when we make choices to downsize or to purchase, or, you know, you're letting go of things, you're adding things, being deliberate in doing that. And people can do it. It doesn't have to be a house. It could be a vacation place or getting people together and enjoying different experiences. So you might downsize in one area, but I know, Leslie, and you go to a specific place for Thanksgiving where you're creating memories. So it doesn't have to be like a very specific home or something you own. But when you downsize, you create other places for memories that I think is just an awesome way to do it as well.
Mm-hmm. And Marla, you didn't downsize other than through the natural process of the divorce and your husband's ex-husband's things departing from the home, but you made a decision to stay where you were at an inflection point that a lot of people do make a life change, a physical space change. And what are your thoughts on that?
So I kind of stayed put because I just didn't have the capacity to endure any other change in my life. And my home became, and just timing wise. So my husband and I separated 9 months before the pandemic began. And so for me, it was very important to me to be busy and not be alone. I'm a pretty strong E personality type. And when the pandemic hit, I went from only having to find things to do, you know, on the weekends, because I went to work every day in an office 5 days a week, to suddenly being home by myself 24/7. And my home became this incredibly supportive, nurturing environment. I got so connected to that house in a way that I had never been before. And so, you know, whether it's the material possessions, which it wasn't, it was the space that was my nurturing place during that time. Because what did you have during the pandemic? You were kind of where you were. And that became really important to me. But in terms of downsizing and seeing people who are whose kids are moving out of the house, who are making decisions about moving or moving some of their belongings out of the house, I've always been intrigued and maybe a little jealous of people who downsize, because that's a huge undertaking in my mind. It is physical work, but it's also a lot of emotional work. And I feel like I can't do that. And so at first I thought, well, once he moves all of his things out of the house, I'll have more room like in the attic to go through things and discard what I don't need. But I kind of kept making excuses and never ended up doing that because it just felt monumental. And then one day I decided that I was going to start doing that. And I started with some of my children's belongings. And I think I want to ask you about this because that in many ways, like those pieces of art from when they were 3 years old that they don't even know that you've been holding on to yet. I felt like I had to ask them if it was okay if I got rid of this because you're not donating it. You're maybe recycling it if it's a piece of paper, but you're really letting go of memories of your life and their growing up. And I felt really responsible for those decisions and still feel a little guilty that I got rid of some of those things that just sat in a box for years. Nobody looked at them. It's not like they were hanging on the wall.
It's funny you say that. I could not get rid of any of the kids' things without asking permission. And it was a little bit, I'm going to be completely honest, it was a little superstitious. I just was like, yeah, I'm not parting with this. It's theirs. They have to make be the ones to make the decision.
Well, I feel so much better.
Yeah. Do you regret staying in the house now? Do you think you might move on in the future? Are you happy that you chose to stay in the house?
Oh, absolutely. I have no regrets whatsoever. It was really what I needed to do. And it was a pillar. It was a pillar holding me up. It's not a pillar holding me up anymore. I am holding myself up. But do I stay? Do I go? Is it the right time to sell a house? Do I need as a single person to live in a house? Right now, I'm comfortable. I love the house. I love my neighborhood. I love the community that I'm in. I love my friends who live near me. Once my broken foot is healed, I'll be able to run in the neighborhood again. So no decisions about that. But that space right now has gone from, and I think it's so interesting, how a space, a home can be a physical house. It can be a roof over your head or an apartment. It can be a nurturing place. It can be where you raise your family. It can be the warmth that you create. So you could have a beautiful appointed home that doesn't necessarily have the same warmth of the person who is there. And so really interesting for me to see how my house and my home has evolved. It's how my relationship with the house and my home has evolved.
I think that's beautiful. And that's true also, Marianne, of your home, right? The home on the Eastern Shore started out for one purpose and has evolved into something else. And it has that beautiful energy to it.
It does. Yeah, it's a special place. You know, going back to what you were saying, I think initially, like when you were talking about keeping the house and you knew you needed to stay there, did you find like that was a sense of security at that point in time? And it was something that you could predict, like the predictability of at least having this, because there was so much loss.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even when I had to get a new car, I ended up getting the same car that I had because I just couldn't. I mean, I tried to find a different one, but I just needed that continuity, right?
Yeah.
That the sameness was really important to me.
Well, and I also think when we're talking about, it was nice of you to say that about my home, and it does have a lot of good energy. I think you were able, staying in your home, to be able to create the healing from a lot of things that was going on. And bringing positive energy into your home and like a full cycle, like it came full circle to back where it should have been. You know, like that there is a piece of you in that home. Mm-hmm. I feel it when I walk in the door and it is good energy. And it's wonderful that you took something in and kept it that way in a very dark period of your life. I mean, you were resilient there.
It's a story in itself, the house and the energy it holds.
It's true.
We went in a completely different direction because I was telling you guys this beforehand. When my son went off to college, my daughter was still at home, and that was great. We had 2 years with her that we you know, we could really totally focus on her. And then when she went off to college, I found myself for the first week sleeping in her bed and crying every night because it was a huge loss. And like a lot of people, and I know like both of you, my life, I'm going to get emotional. My life when my kids were at home was all about my kids. It was just, you know, I had a career and I had a lot of activities, but it was all about the kids. And when they were gone, it was a big loss. And so we stayed in the house for about 4 years. And then during that time, we talked about like what this was going to look like. Did we want to stay in the house forever? Did we want to move on? Our son lives on the West Coast. Is there a chance we might want to move there? My daughter for a while was living in France. Like, what did that mean for staying in this area? And ultimately, we decided, both for financial reasons and emotional reasons, to go ahead and sell the house and move into an apartment. And I was happy with that decision when we made it. And now that we've been in the apartment for about 4 or 5 months, I am delighted with the decision. And what I didn't anticipate was that getting up every morning and walking past the empty bedrooms that my children used to occupy was weighing me down emotionally in a way that I was not aware of. It was a constant reminder of what we shared then that we had lost. And I don't want to live in the past. I think we've talked about this in another episode, yeah. But my goal for getting older is to always be looking forward. And so we sat down and we talked about that. Like, we don't need these rooms. The kids are not going to occupy them again. They're just kind of little memorials to our teenage children who are now adults. And we have different relationships with them now as adults. And so selling the house and moving out was hard for the kids. They were not ready for that, but we were ready for it. And now in the apartment, like we actually got rid of a lot of furniture and bought new furniture. And it's just Dave and I, and we have, you know, we each have our own little space within the apartment and then our shared space. And it is fantastic. I love it.
Well, people talk about the lightness, right? When you move, when you downsize, when you let go of a lot of those belongings or the, what you call memorials or shrine to your children's teenage years, that it is, it's a lightening.
Oh, it's incredible. And it, you know, honestly, most of the things that we got rid of, I did ask the kids for permission for their stuff. The stuff of our own that we got rid of, I was going through the attic thinking, what on earth were we thinking? Why, A, why did we buy this? And B, why did we keep it stored in the attic for 20 years? I mean, just crazy what you hold on to. So getting rid of all of that, it was a long process. I sort of went through everything and decided what could be sold, what could be given away, and what could be trashed. And so it took a while to go through everything that we had. But the only thing that gave me any pause at all was the piano. I've always wanted to learn to play piano. We bought the piano when we bought the house with the goal that I was going to take lessons. And then we promptly had children and I didn't have time for lessons. And then the kids started taking lessons and I didn't have money for me to have lessons. And you know, my son is a musician and the piano is a key foundation of his current life and career. So getting rid of that was really, really hard. And he really didn't want us to get rid of it. He wanted me to save it, hold on to it, and eventually bring it to him in California. And I mean, that's just completely unrealistic. So that was the only thing in the entire house that gave me pause. I cried when we sold the piano. Everything else, it was just...
But it served its purpose.
It totally served its purpose. The piano was a beautiful addition to our life as a family and to my son's life. And I think it was time for it to go.
It's been interesting watching you through this process. And we got to talk a lot while you were going through things and downsizing and what to keep. And you do seem lighter in some ways. I actually look forward to doing that with our primary home. I don't really have any attachment to it. A lot of good and wonderful memories, but there's some sadness as well. But moving forward, I actually look forward to shedding that because I've seen how light you are and a few other people as well. I will say, you know, letting go and making space, it doesn't have to just be a physical home. I was able to shed a career. I loved my career. couple of years ago, I decided actually to create some space for myself, downsizing my life in that aspect and opening up room to really find myself in a way. I feel like I've always found myself. But when you have a career and all that time is in put into that and put into parenting and in being a mother to small children, when you have an opportunity to kind of be a little bit reflective on what you want to keep, what you want to let go of, it does allow space. And it definitely has for me too. And I know you guys as well.
I'm definitely looking forward to the day when I can set my career aside and focus on other interests. You know, it's funny. I think a lot of us get into careers at a time when we don't really know that much about ourselves. And, you know, if I've often thought over the years that if I had been a little bit older, I probably would not have been a lawyer. But I made that choice and it's been a good career, but I'm so ready to be on to the next thing and to shed that.
Yeah. Well, I loved my nursing career in so many ways, for sure. I'm a humanitarian. I mean, I do like that field. If I were to choose over again, it would be photojournalism, which I do photography now, and I like writing. So I have a little blog, little website. So I do that now, but now I have time and space to kind of reclaim what maybe I would have done had I not made the decision for making a means to an end type of career choice.
Yeah, I think that's such an interesting topic, and we probably want to make a note of it for another podcast. But just how you put that, Leslie Ann, about we make our career choices when we're so young, or we did, right? And maybe a little bit different for subsequent generations, but looking at it from, okay, now we're in midlife and we can make a pivot. We are retiring, but retiring from that career that you had selected decades ago to what is it that you want to do right now. And I had a really interesting experience recently when I was at my favorite museum, and one of the guides asked me what was my creative outlet. And I don't automatically have my photography work. I'm not a photographer. I'm not really a gardener. And I was beginning to think that maybe I don't know what it is, right? But so how do we allow ourselves the time to explore what that next career or that next passion, right? Maybe it's not the career, maybe it's your passion, right? So you don't have to look at it as, well, I would have been a photojournalist, but here I am getting so much enjoyment, creative energy from photography or from our podcast and sharing our thoughts with others to help inspire them as we're inspiring ourselves as well as each other.
I think when you do decide to end a career, that career, for me anyway, it opened up so much space. It was like firecrackers going off in my head, honestly, of all these ideas, these things I wanted to do. And I didn't think about these things very much while I was in my career. It was that space that I was able to have after it that all of a sudden, I'm telling you, I just got on fire. I really have. It's wonderful.
You know, there's another aspect, though, to downsizing, like downsizing your career, downsizing your physical space. And for me, it's downsizing my attitude. Because I have a lot of ideas for things I want to do, but I no longer feel as I did when I was young, that I need to do those things to be a success at them, or I need to do them in a competitive way. It's really about, like, my expectations have become smaller of what I want out of the things that I do. I want to do them because I enjoy them.
I want to stay on that for a moment because it really resonated, because I will say that there are certain things that I don't do because I'm not good at them, right? What you were just talking about. And so my enjoyment doesn't or shouldn't need to come from whether or not I'm successful at it, right? But whether I might just be interested in it, right? Like even gardening, right? Like I don't really think, I never thought I had a green thumb. But so I could still garden and enjoy having my hands in the dirt, even if that plant doesn't survive, that doesn't mean I'm not enjoying gardening or I'm not a gardener. So I really appreciate how you put that forward.
And, you know, one aspect of it, which is kind of a crazy example, but I think you'll see the connection. You know, I've always loved the holidays and I always particularly love Thanksgiving. But like a lot of women, right, you're responsible as the woman in the household for presenting the Thanksgiving experience. And so it was get out the best china, polish all the silver, cook for 5 days. And, you know, as part of this whole experience, a few years ago, the first time we went out to California, you mentioned we go to California right now every year. The first time we went out to California for Thanksgiving, I realized we were going to be renting a place and I didn't know what they would have. And it was also during the pandemic. And so we decided we were going to order from a gourmet store and have the entire Thanksgiving spread done for us. Oh my God, it was so liberating. It totally downsized the Thanksgiving experience in a way that was so fulfilling. So ever since then, we order food in advance. We have the whole Thanksgiving spread delivered. And it made the experience of being together, which is now what I want to focus on, so much better because all of the stuff that went on around it has been shed.
Oh, I love that. Downsizing Thanksgiving.
Well, I think that's a nice thing about the stage of life that we're in and talking about giving up things or not engaging in things because we might used to be fearful that we wouldn't succeed in it. I mean, we are at a point. I used to look at my parents and think, okay, do you not care what they think? Did you just really say that? Well, I'm there now. It's like, I mean, you get to the point you do it for yourself. Mm-hmm. That's where the enjoyment, whether somebody likes it or not, it doesn't matter. There are things that I want to do adventurously that I've never done before, but I'm going to do it because I want to do it.
And that was a little bit of the thought process behind selling the house. Like we were at a position where the house needed a lot of work. We could either spend a lot of money. It was an older house. We could either spend a lot of money fixing up the house and a lot of time and energy getting workmen in to fix the house and continually paying attention to the house. Or we could move into a rental apartment, call maintenance when something breaks and take off and go. You know, the first thing we did after we sold the house, we went to London for 10 days. We just went to California for Thanksgiving. We can go wherever we want because if anything breaks, we just have to call maintenance and they come fix it. So it is about focus and downsizing your external environment to create more internal focus is one of the gems of this part of life.
And the memories. Those memories from those experiences and the things you get to do now versus taking care of a house that you're ready to get rid of in some ways. I mean, wow, that's an exchange.
Yeah, it's been great.
And also, I think, you know, I mean, I was talking about the hard part of downsizing is, you know, the memories, right, of the family that you raised in the house. And in many cases, and I experienced this with some of what I was, you know, getting rid of and getting permission to get rid of, that those things don't actually really hold those same memories for your kids as you thought they might. They don't have the attachment as much to I mean, I do have a box with a label that says memories. And there are some things, there is a little Patagonia outfit that I'm not ever going to get rid of that both of my kids wore. And it was a gift from my aunt. But beyond that, right, a lot of those things are things that you think are memories. And what you just talked about, now you're creating new memories that they will share with you as their memories. They don't remember that stick figure picture that they drew at 3 years old.
That's absolutely right. Although I will say that there was a conscious process of bringing along a few things that I thought resonated or would resonate when the kids come and stay. I keep saying the kids, my children, they're not kids anymore, come and stay with us. And so one was, and actually my husband and I had a little dispute over this, in the upstairs hallway of the house, there was a closet with two sliding doors. And on one of those doors, years ago, my husband had painted a yardstick, you know, and that's where we marked the kid's height. And, you know, there's circled where Harry surpassed Dave and where Lindsay surpassed me as they grew. I wanted to take that with us. And my husband was like, it's a door, like it's a sliding door. I was like, no, I think we should take it. He was like, no, we're definitely not taking the sliding door. Well, the realtor right before we left was like, wait, you're not taking that? Like, you're going to regret that. You're going to want that. And I was like, yeah, my husband's like, it's a sliding door. What are we going to do with a sliding door? She said, oh, you can get somebody to turn it into a desk or a table.
I was great like, idea.
Brilliant. So we took the door. It is currently standing in the hallway of the apartment. So it's like an art piece kind of, which is fine. But it will eventually become a piece of furniture for one of the kids. And the only question will be, who will get it?
That's a wonderful idea.
Yeah. So selectively picking a few things to take along was really important. But 90% of it did not make the cut.
You know, I tend to, it's my personality, but I purge about every 6 months through my house. So I kind of do that already. But when it comes to the kids' things, I like to ask them permission as well. I mean, I have memories tied to some of those things, but if they're not strong, I mean, a lot of times my kids are like, what the hell? Why'd you keep that? I'm like, I have no idea. But if you don't want it, I don't want it. And it's gone.
At some point in time, it seemed like a good idea to keep this, right?
But I like that you asked them as well, because I know your memories are tied to it, but they might have memories tied to it as well.
Yeah. And there were some things, especially Lindsay, there were things that she wanted. Harry has been out of the house for so long. It didn't really make
the difference.
But it is freeing. Except the piano, which she wasn't going to get.
It is freeing. And going through our stage of life right now, I mean, there is a trajectory, right? At 80, I'm not going to want to do all that. So I think it's smart to start deciding, you know, what you really want to keep and what you don't.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? There'll be another move in our future at some point, and we know that. I mean, inevitably, we will get to a point where we are going to need a different living arrangement. But for right now, you know, we have less stuff, more time, more money. It's not a bad situation.
It's wonderful.
So I hope that our listeners who've tuned into this podcast can maybe take a little something from the fact that whether you upsize, downsize, or stay the same, if you make a conscious decision about what you want your space to be like, it'll best reflect where you are in your midlife journey. And we hope you tune in to future podcasts. And if you want to follow us, we're at www.americanmidsters.com.
Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code PODCAST at joyandblokes.com.